Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate His grace?
Amen.
I'm so grateful that God has given us of His abundant grace and mercy. But I'm grateful that we, in this day of abuse of grace, that we understand grace does not mean that we can live any way we want to and keep doing it over and over and over again, and that's what grace is for. That's not what grace is for. Grace is to help us in the time of need, not to excuse us for a lack of new birth. Amen. To be able to think of the essential love and projection of Almighty God, condensing from the great eternal into the form of the Logos. This type of glory can never be replicated. Yet the Lord Jesus prays that we would be able to share with His glory. That glory was that which was given to the Son from the Father, not of His essential being, but of that which He endured as a mediator. This great honor to become a son, what an honor it is for us as sons and daughters today. When we do that, we are sharing of that glory which the Lord Jesus prayed. Father, I pray for them. May this glory which I had with Thee before the world began, may they be able to endure it. You may look at yourself today and say, what in the world have I ever done? Look how frail I am. That's what you're looking at from the human side. But God looks at you the way you really, truly are. We need understanding, friends, to help us to understand such a love. That's right. Amen. Those of you that missed the service last time, I'm telling you, it was just absolutely tremendous. Lord, just use Brother David. I just... so appreciate it. And we've got another service here laying before us today, and we're believing the same Lord Jesus has laid something on His heart for our needs today. How many has needs? Of course, I know you do. Physical, spiritual, financial, whatever they are. But keep in mind that the greatest thing that can happen to us today in the service is to receive a revelation from the Lord that no matter what our need is, that God is the sufficiency, the provision to be able to help us with that need. Let's sing together, Harry, as the Lord will just open our hearts to His Word. You know, the Lord Jesus, in the simplistic way that He has of dealing with us as human beings, likened Himself to a bridegroom, as we looked at it last night, Brother David bringing so beautifully of Hosea, as Him likening Himself to a man, likening Himself to so many things. We hear the common term today used by so many. This man was a self-made man. He took himself and he done this and that and the other. But in reality, the true and original and only self-made man was God. Because He made Himself a man. All of us were born, and maybe we were given abilities and we had to struggle to make ourselves and raise ourselves up. But really, He's the only self-made man. And He did that, that He might transform us. Don't you appreciate Him with all your hearts? Thank God for His mercy. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just open our hearts today.
Amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
Shall always be my song of praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Was great.
Yes, Lord.
That bought my liberty. I do not know just why He came.
all of my faults, and it's all I need.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he's not dependent on this flesh? He looked beyond your mistakes, your troubles, your shortcomings. He saw the predestinated seed that was living on the inside of you. Amen. Psalms 102 verse 12. I'd like to go to the scripture this morning. Psalms 102 verse 12. What a great honor it is, Ben, to be here with you this weekend. I'd like to look again on being loosed from the house of your bondsman. Psalms 102, verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Now watch, he uses this first. The time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So he tells us that he's going to arise because of his remembrance to all generations. And he tells us the time to favor her, the set time is come. This morning I woke up and I was looking at this portion of the scripture, and this keeps going over and over in my heart this week, and for some time he's going to favor the dust. He said, for the time to favor her, the set time is come. This, just that terminology, the set time. It's not the English word that we use, chronos, which means chronological order. After one comes two, after two comes three, after three comes four. But it actually comes from the word kairos, which is actually referring to an event. It's something that's been pre-planned. There's an occasion that's going to take place as the tabernacle, the Feast of the Tabernacles, Feast of the Wave Sheep. So there's an event, an occurrence, not one, two, three chronological, but actually a predestinated moment, a pre-planned occasion. He uses the same terminology, glory to God, in Genesis 17 where Elohim was going to visit Abraham, and he said, at the appointed season I will return. It comes from the Greek word kairos. It's the same word used in Genesis 24 when Eliezer went to get Rebekah, because it was evening time. It was the set time that the virgins would go to the well, and God had pre-planned a woman to meet a messenger. Praise the Lord. It's a predestinated moment, or we say prophetic arrangement. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the temple would be destroyed. And David's prophetically saying that God's going to remember, but he's not just going to remember the stones, because they can tear down the stones, they can tear down the courts, but one thing they can't take away, they can't take the dust away. And God says, I'm going to remember and favor that spot, that dust. So then the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth, thy glory. Notice what he calls. They're going to fear the name of the Lord and the kings of the earth by glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. The people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, and from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. This is why, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, and to loose those that are appointed to death. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and praise in Jerusalem. Gabriel's instructions of Daniel 19:61. God never did deal with Israel till she come to her homeland. You hear me? Thus saith the Lord. God will not deal with his church till she comes back to the homeland. The message of the hour comes back to the original. Amen. I'd like to speak to you on that today. We'd like to look from this direction, favoring the dust. May the Lord add his blessings, words. You can be seated today. It's quite a setting, isn't it? We know that God has ordained for Zion to be the place where God would set up the temple, where God would set up the tabernacle. It would be in God's provided place that he would ordain this specific spot for his children to be able to come and worship. And out of all the places on the earth today, we'll run the same parable from last night, the parallel rather, that God would actually choose this place, that God would choose this spot out of all the places that he would create and put up on the face of the earth, that God would choose this place of Zion. It would be Palestine that God would choose out of all the places upon the earth today. Now, Moses tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11, he said, "Then shall there be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to call his name to dwell there." So this isn't something that man has decided to be able to come to this place and to be able to set up this place for God to be able to meet him at. But actually, this is God's provided place. This is God's place that he has initially called for this, as we would say, for this worship to be able to be restored, this worship to be able to be set up. And God did not leave this up to the agency of man, that man would have the ability to choose a certain spot or choose a favorite place that they would like, or what they think is a beautiful spot, what they think is a great place. But rather, God chose this area. And we know that God's choosing, God's allotment, as we would see, no doubt that God could look across the earth. There would be a lot of beautiful places that God could choose to be able to put this. But God, you know, by the natural eyes we would look, we would think, well, God could have chose this land over here. It's such a beautiful place. Or he could have chose this land over here. There's more water that would come to this land. Or there's more grass. It's more populated, that the animals could be able to feed better. And the cattle, they would grow and become so fat. And then, you know, maybe we'd choose somewhere that would have the great big trees that would grow up from the earth. But God did not choose many of those places, but God chose Israel. And we know that God looked down upon Israel and that God was going to favor this land. In so much that God had instructed Israel that when they would come into the land, that God is going to allow the same parable with the people. He's going to also run that to the land. That when they would come into the land, the first thing that God did by promise is, he tells them, this is what I want you to do when you come into this special place, when you come into this ordained position. The first thing that I want you to do is, I want you to tear down every altar of these false gods. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to take and tear down these groves and burn them up. Remember, burning in the scriptures is a type of judgment. I want you to judge this false idolatry. I want you to judge this false worship. And I want you to tear down their altars. So as God wants the people to be holy, as God wants the people to be separated, God wants the place that he has provided for worship, he wants that location to be set apart as well. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 3, he would tell them, "And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their God and destroy of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place." So notice, it was in that place where these other gods was going to be worshipped, that God is not going to take and allow his people to be able to come into this land, and he's not going to share this place with other gods. I said he's not going to share this place with other gods. If there was other gods that was in the provided place, he wants you to tear down every altar, every idol that you may have. He wants you to completely destroy it, because God ain't going to share his worship with no other gods in this place. He wants it to be set apart. He wants it to be holy. He wants it to be a consecrated place unto himself. And God don't want you sharing his worship with nothing of this world, nothing of Laodicea, nothing in this time. He wants to have an exclusive rights to himself. He don't want to share your praise with nothing else. He don't want to share your praise with Hollywood. He don't want to share your praise with football stars and baseball stars and rock and roll stars and country music stars. He don't want to share his glory with nobody else. When you come into the land, tear down them old altars.
He tells them, I want you to take and I want you to tear down the names of their gods in that place. So he does not want their name even. He don't want the mention of their name in the place where God's provided. So he tells them, tear down these pillars and take the groves and destroy the groves. And in other words, this is the place where I'm going to put my name. This is the place where my presence is going to dwell at. And I'm not going to share it with nothing else. Now notice what he tells them according to Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 10. He said, but when you go over Jordan and you dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. So when they come into this chosen place, this provided place, when they come into the position that God had ordained them to be able to come into, he's going to favor them. And by this favor, amen, he's going to give them rest from their enemies. Now notice, they cannot have rest until every idolatry has been torn down. They cannot possess this kind of rest as long as the names of them other gods is in this place. But when they are torn down, he said, I'm going to give you rest from about your enemies so that you dwell in safety. Can you imagine? This ain't a mere man saying this to them, but this is Jehovah God. This is the creator of heaven and earth. And he's letting them know, I'm going to give you rest from your enemies. And when it comes to safety, you can dwell in this provided place in safety. You don't have to worry about a rogue enemy coming by and taking you out. You're going to dwell in the land in safety. So it may have taken them a while to be able to go through this land, to be able to take and to tear these altars down. It may have took them quite some time to be able to tear these images down. But let me tell you, they was going to eventually overcome. And you are eventually going to overcome. Because God had already set a time, amen, he's already set a season, an allocated time by his word that you are going to dwell in the land of safety, hallelujah. He's already got an allotment by Kairos, by an appointed season you are going to overcome. Hallelujah. Then what's God going to do? He's going to look down from the height of his sanctuary and behold the dust thereof, and you're going to receive favor from the Lord, rest from your enemies. Again, he promised it in Joshua chapter 21 verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So not only did he tell them they're going to have rest, but now he's bringing that promise to pass. And he give them rest round about according that he swear unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, because the Lord delivered them out of all their enemies' hand. So there failed not aught any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Look at these next words. All came to pass. That ought to encourage you this morning. If God said it, it will come to pass. It may take a while. It may take a few months. It may take a few years. But eventually, because God has already made an oath by his spoken word, that word will not fall short, but it'll come to pass just as God said it would do. For all shall come to pass. When God speaks his word will not fail. When God utters his covenant, amen, you can take God's word and base your life upon it, knowing that God's word cannot fail us. Notice it's in God's provided place. Remember, it was going to be David, that David was going to be anointed before the Lord. Remember how that the prophet Samuel had come down while David was yet in his adolescence. And we would see how that Samuel would come down and all by the natural eye, he would have chose another land to be able to be king. By the natural eye, Brother Ram tells us there was some men that was bigger than the other. But he began to look around, but that wasn't God's provided person. That wasn't God's choice. That wasn't what God had anointed. But it was going to be David that was going to be anointed by the prophet Samuel. Samuel's not moving by education. He's not moving by the sight of man. He's looking for God's provided person. And you realize that David would have to fight many battles, and how that David, before he could take his throne, there would have to be some overcoming in David before he could take his position, be able to take his spot. But David, of course, at this time had not taken his position as yet, because David had some overcoming to do. David had some conquering to be able to do. But then there come a season, then there come a time, a kairos, there come a time when David, amen, was going to put the enemy behind him, and he was going to step into his position. According to 2 Samuel 7:1, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest around about from all of his enemies. Until the king came to his house, David did not have no rest. But glory to God. But just as soon as David came to his position, came to his place, came to authority, when David sat in his house, the Lord gave David rest from his enemies. Oh, I hope you follow me. That the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. So after he comes to his place, God favors him from his enemies. And David, when he sees this favor, David's desire is, I want to build a tabernacle for God to be able to dwell in. So notice, David wants a place after he comes to rest. Hallelujah. He wants to be able to build God a permanent place to be able to dwell in. Now notice where David wants to build this at. He wants to build it in this special land. This is God's land. This is the place that God shows favor to. And David wants to build God a place to dwell in Jerusalem. Oh, I'll just say this. God would not let David build the temple because David had shed too much blood. David, according to the scripture, he had shed blood. But it was going to be after the shedding of the blood, there's going to come another office up called the Son of David. And the Son of David was going to build a place for God to be able to dwell at. So because of the shedding of the blood, God would have a tabernacle, hallelujah, to be able to dwell in after the shedding of the blood. Now God is specific in how he wants this. There's no wiggle room in this. God tells him exactly the way he wants us to be. Not only did he want it to be built a certain way, he wanted it to be built on a certain place. But he tells him exactly how big that this tabernacle is to be. He tells him how many rooms it's going to be, what the size of the rooms is going to be, how many courts is going to be in it. And this temple is not something David designed. This is what God designed and sent the word to David. And then it was David's responsibility to take and give the word to Solomon. Hallelujah. And once Solomon received David's word, he built it according to the word of the Lord. It would be a place set aside for God, a place that God could put his name, a place where they could worship. Think about this. Don't just put it anywhere. Put it in Zion. Put it in Zion. That's his ordained spot. God has always showed favor to that spot. God's always showed favor to Zion. It's a special place for God. Insomuch that God loved Israel so much, he would call the people by the name of the land that they was going to dwell in. I can't spoon feed you this morning. You just have to hang on. He was going to call his people by the name of the land that they was going to dwell in. So you realize that that was the name they was going to be called by. The name of their homeland. The name of their inheritance. Hallelujah. The name of God that he ordained them to be in. He was going to call his people by that name of that city. It's God's ordained place. It's God's predestinated place. God ordained this place so much that it would be built in Zion, that every Old Testament saint would want to be buried in that special land. Come on. I said they wanted to be buried in that particular place where God shows favor to. That's where they want to be buried at. That's where Job was buried at. That's where Jacob was buried at. That's where Sarah was buried at. That was where Abraham. We're at in the land of promise. But why Palestine? Why that particular place? Why not somewhere else that'd be more convenient to be able to bury the dead? Why not somewhere else? Why would they go many times to the extreme to be buried in this land? Why is it that they would, it seemed like it'd be so unconventional, it'd be so much easier to do it a better way. Well, just be buried over here, just be buried over there. Why do they want to come to this land? Notice that Jacob tells us in Genesis 47:29, and the time drew nigh, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die. Talking about Jacob. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I've found grace in thy sight. Now notice he's wanting his son to look down upon him. Hallelujah. And he says, if I've found grace, and the word grace means favor. If you've looked upon me and I've found favor in your sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. So Joseph, notice now, Jacob tells Joseph, I want you to make a covenant with me. I want you to make me a promise, make me an oath. I don't want you to forget about this. This ain't something I'm just going to say because I'm in my own age or maybe I'm delirious. I want you to take heed of what I'm telling you. I want you to give me an oath, give me a pledge that you won't bury me in Egypt. Insomuch that Jacob, oh, think about it, he would tell his son, give me your hand and put your hand on the hand. Put your hand in the space. Put your hand in the place where God touched me at. I want you to put your hand in the same place where God made a covenant with me. I want you to put your hand, hallelujah. I want you to put it in the same place. Make a covenant by putting your hand where the angel touched me. Hallelujah. I want you to put your hand where God's hand was at. And I want you to speak. When you put your hand in that place where it caused me to walk different, it caused me to limp, but I was a blessed limper. I was blessed because I limped. I was blessed because that's a covenant with God. Put your hand over that spot right there. That special place. Where the Lord touched me that night. And I want you to speak the word of covenant over that place. I want you to vow before God that when y'all come out, don't you leave me here. And you are going to come out. And when you leave, I want you to pack me along with you. So there was going to be a group of people who is packing the bones of a dead prophet everywhere they went. Hallelujah. Notice besides this him wanting to be able to come out with them because he don't want to be buried down in Egypt. Egypt is sin. He don't want to be buried in sin. He wants to be buried where Abraham and Isaac, oh my, but why go through all of this? What difference does it make? Why would you even want to do this? Why them bones, my? What does it matter where them burned bones is buried at? What does it matter? Isn't dirt just dirt? Come on. Isn't all dirt just the same dirt? No, it's not. There's some dirt's elected dirt. There's some dirt's predestinated dirt. We don't preach replacement. We preach resurrection. Hallelujah. We do not preach replacement. We preach resurrection. And there is some dust that God's going to favor. Hallelujah. And God's going to show favor upon dust. No doubt there were some beautiful places down in Egypt. No doubt they probably had some tremendous cemeteries with a lot of decoration. Maybe there was nothing up there in Palestine at this time, but I want to tell you, that prophet didn't care about decorations. He didn't care about natural things. He wanted to be buried in the ordained place where God allocated his word to. Canaan's dust is favored dust. I said it's a favored place. They wanted to be buried in the position where God would favor the dust. Egypt was cursed. The land of Nod was cursed. Babylon was cursed, but not Palestine. Palestine is the land of promise. So God would show favor to those who's buried in the promise land. God would show favor to those who's buried in the promise land. Now notice, if you can't be buried in Egypt and have rest from your enemies. And Jacob knowed, if I'm buried down in Egypt, I will not rest if I'm in Egypt. I cannot be buried in that ground. I must be buried in the right promise. You notice, if you're going to have rest from your enemies, make sure, oh my, you are buried in the right place. You cannot be buried underneath Buddha and be in the right place. Come on. You cannot get rest under Buddha. You cannot get rest under Muhammad. You cannot get rest under Tisna. There's only one place you can be buried to receive this rest, and that's in Christ. Hallelujah. You've got to be buried in Christ. There ain't no rest in organizations. There ain't no rest in denomination. There ain't no rest in creeds. There ain't no rest in dogmas. Only in the homeland, the message of the hour, can you receive rest. Notice Israel in the church, Brother Ram says, along came Abraham with a promise, and Sarah died, and he buried her right near Job. Bought a parcel of ground and buried her. When Abraham died, he slept by Sarah. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac died. He slept with Abraham. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob died way down in Egypt. But he said, don't you bury me down here. Swear that you won't bury me here. Take my dust. Take my bones and bury them up there with my father. Why? Why? That's not written, brother. It's in between the lines. Hallelujah. Joseph, when he died, he said, you put my bones here in this casket, but don't you bury me here. Don't you bury me down here. You take me up there and bury me in the promised land. Bury me up there. Why? Said God's going to visit someday, and I'm leaving my bones here to represent something. And I'm still banking on that same thing tonight. What God told Abraham, I'll save you and your seed. I believe it, and someday you're going to come out of here. And they believed it, and one day, old Joseph's bones. Moses started out, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're forgetting something, Moses. Now watch. Man forgot about them bones. But the Lord would have a remembrance from generation to generation. He would remember, and he would look down from the height of his sanctuary, and he would, the set time would come that he's going to favor the dust. And God would not let Moses, hallelujah, forget the bones of this prophet. Moses started out, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're forgetting something, Moses. Go down there and get them bones of Joseph. Moses wrapped them up, and here he comes, the pillar of fire, leading him onto the promised land. And he buried him by the side of Isaac and Jacob. Why? They know there was coming the first fruits of them that slept. They know there was coming the first fruits. What's the first fruits? It's those that comes up from the ground. They know there was coming a resurrection one of these days, one of them days, and they know the just one that Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, the last days shall stand up on the earth. And they know that Job had an idea where he was going to stand. So he said, bury me here. They wanted to be with Joseph or with Job, and they buried right around there in Palestine because that was the promised land. They know The resurrection wasn't going to be in Egypt. It wasn't going to be in Europe. It wasn't going to be somewhere else. It was going to be in Palestine. So they buried them there. Because Palestine is the land of the resurrection. It's the land that the first fruits, which they would pluck the first one that come forth from the ground, the first one from the crop, they would take it and they would wave that one over the rest of the crop. And when they would raise that one over the rest of the crop, they wouldn't have to go out there and examine every piece that come up out of the field. They know God's law, every seed bring forth of its own kind. They wouldn't have to go out and examine the rest of the crop, but they would examine the first one, hallelujah, the first one that came forth from the grave. That's the one that would be examined. And Jesus resurrected and he sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat to do what? Bring acceptance for you and I. Oh my, the resurrection wasn't going to happen down in Egypt. It was only in the promise. There is no resurrection anywhere else but where God puts his name at. Do you realize that's why God told Abraham to leave your father's house? I want to bring you out. I want to allure you out and lead you to a certain place in a certain land. And that's where I want you to dwell at right there. Do you know why? That's where God was going to visit at. It was in that land that Elohim would come down and speak to Abraham and Sarah. Now God had showed favor. Brother David, God ain't no respecter of persons. Well, he may not be, but he is a respecter of his own life. He is a respecter of his own seed. And God showed favor to Abraham and Sarah, and he told Abraham, Abraham, you're going to be a father. And his seed, now watch, he tells him, your seed is going to be like the dust. But yet it would be numbered like the stars. Notice, he would tell him it's going to be like the stars. Do you realize that scientists tell us some of the very same things that is found on stars and on the moon and in the sun is some of the very same elements that's found right here in this earth? Right? So it ain't that there's such a difference between our dirt and that dirt, but it's the position they're put in. It's the position that they're called to. Come on. You look up at night and you see them stars glistening across the skies and you think, oh my, look how bright that is. That's such a heavenly star. And it's not so much that the dirt is so different. It's the place where God put it at. Hallelujah. God tells Abraham, I want you to have a son. Oh my. And notice, to a man that doesn't have one son yet, those are big words. But watch. He said, and Sarah, thy wife. So he's not telling him just any land can produce this son. Not just any woman can produce this son. But God is very specific on what parcel of ground, hallelujah, that he wants the promised son to be born out of. Can't say it no better than that. I said God has a specific place, a specific location that he wants sons to birth sons out of. And it wasn't going to come through nobody but God's allotted woman. She's God's chosen place. She was God's chosen vessel. No doubt Hagar's dust. Listen, friend, there ain't no difference. It was both dust. But it's that Sarah was put in a special place. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, by the natural eye, no doubt it would have looked, made sense by the natural thinking of man, by the natural a man's mind to say, well, you know, Hagar's younger, Sarah's older. That seemed like that would make sense. Here's you one. Here is Hagar. She's fertile. But Sarah's never had one son. It would have been a lot more convenient. It would have been a lot more convenient to be able to bring it through Hagar. But the problem was, that's not the land that God chose. She was not God's chosen place. She was not God's elected place to be able to produce this promise. She was not a covenant wife. She was not included in the promise. She was not included in the covenant. Come on, church.
She could not produce the blessing. Listen, Hagar can have gifts, she can have blessings, but she cannot produce the spoken word of God. So at a set time, hallelujah, at a kairos of time, God's going to favor Sarah. Now watch the way this favor works. That God did not leave this up to Abraham, but God comes down himself. God come down and picked up a handful of. So he favors some dust and he creates a body. And God, Almighty God, stepped into that body of dust. Come on, somebody. Notice what God was doing. He was going to use a dust body. Hallelujah. He's using dust to speak to dust. He's using dust to favor dust. Come on, church. He's using dust. Hallelujah. He's using dust. Elements of the world. Are you hearing me? He uses preachers. He uses dust to speak the promise of God's word over Sarah. And the Lord descended from heaven with a shout, which is a message. What's he going to do? What's he here for? What's he showing up now? Why would God come to this dried up desert? Why would he come to a place that ain't hardly got any grass left or any water left? Because God's intending on visiting his children. So he descends from heaven and he has a message with him. Listen to me. This message ain't just for everybody. But this message is for a specific people. It's for a specific people. So Elohim was not sent to bring the message to Sodom. Because Sodom cannot produce this message. It's not God's chosen place. Come on, church. Elohim did not pick up dust and go down to Egypt. Egypt was not God's provided place. But this message was sent to Abraham's tent. It was sent to Abraham's family. God was sent to the place where the promise was going to come out of. And the promise wasn't going to come out of them Sodomites. Come on, church. The promise ain't going to be birthed out of the Egyptians. Not going to be birthed out of the Canaanites. Hallelujah. It ain't going to be birthed out of the Hittites or the Arabs. It's going to come through Sarah. It's going to come through that land. And he tells Abraham, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. I will return unto thee according to the kairos. And lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And of course, she hears what God says. In her land, her dust, it laughs. And God cast her aside and said, you ain't elect no more. You ain't a promised child no more. You laugh at me, I'll just kick you to the side. Come on. He cannot just cast her away. Hallelujah. I said he cannot cast her away. He cannot forget about her. She's already included in the promise. Yes, she laughed. Yes, she made a mistake, but she still held the promise of God over that life. A mistake in time cannot change the eternal word. I know people think, well, this divorce is going to end me. Mistakes in time cannot change the eternal word. What God has already proclamated by his word, he cannot change his mind about elected seeds. It's not one day you're going to be or one day you're going to become. You're already seeds. You're already called. You're already elected. Genesis 18:14, and he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, at the time, at the season, at the hour, at that predestinated moment, at that occasion, I'm going to return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. There's an appointed occasion for this, an allotted season to manifest this promised son. I'm just going to tell you, Ishmael was not Abraham's son. I said Ishmael was not Abraham's son. Ishmael was Abram's son. Ishmael could notice Abraham could not produce an Isaac as long as he was in the right bedding ground. But when it got in the right land, it got under the right promise, God had to change Abraham's name. Hallelujah. And where God's name would dwell at, that's where the promise was going to come out of. In the land where he puts his name, in the land where he puts his name, in the land where he shows favor, that's where the promise is going to come to. Brother David, I got news for you. That was Abraham's son. Then tell me why God said, Abraham, take thine son, thine only son. He favors the dust. He's always favored that land. He's always favored Pacific places. Not something that man come up with. Not something that man manufactures, but it's what God's promise has been allocated for a certain spot and under a certain purpose in a certain time, right? Amen. Even when it didn't even make sense. Like this situation right here. There's a woman named Rahab living in the walls of Jericho. Jericho's a cursed city. I said Jericho was a cursed city. And she lived in Jericho a long time. But let me say this, she was not in her right position yet. She did not have rest from her enemies. But notice, something started happening around Rahab's house. A set time had come. A certain occasion began to take place. And her time to be loosed from the house of her bondsman, the time to be set free, the set time had come to receive favor. She'd have been around them Canaanites long enough. She'd been around those denominational walls long enough. Now it's time to favor her. That's when God came her way. Notice what happened. Some spies come into this city. And Joshua had signs. Joshua had the same signs that Moses had. The Holy Ghost. Rahab didn't ask to see Joshua's sign. She just heard. A type of the church, a type of the true church that's been pulled away from prostitution. You say, I'm Methodist today, I'm Baptist tomorrow, I'm Presbyterian the next day. Pulled away in prostitution. But all of a sudden, a little preacher enters. A little preacher enters the city and said, there's a God that lives. There's a God that lived yesterday. He's the same today. His power is just the same. He does the same works that he did when he was here on earth. His agents, plural, his agents are on the road. Rahab the harlot, no, she was a harlot. She was the type of the believer today. Notice this. The real believer, she didn't say, now I hear Joshua can do signs because he's the successor of Moses. I like to see those signs. No, if I could see those signs and I believe it, well, he didn't absolutely have to show those signs because she believed it anyhow. Come on. She wasn't there in B.C. down in Egypt. She wasn't there in B.C. out in the wilderness. She wasn't there at the Red Sea. She wasn't there in that land. She wasn't there when the kings got destroyed, but she heard. I said she heard. And when the right appropriate season, amen, that the word of God would fall upon the ears of this predestinated seed of God living in Jericho, a cursed city, that God planned to do something to this dust.
She said, I heard what God's done for you. I heard how he destroyed the kings. I heard how he opened up the Red Sea. I've heard what God has done. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... And she told the whole, notice this, and she said, the spies, I'll hide you. I'll hide you. I'll hide this message. But I'm going to need a favor. I'm going to need you to show me favor. I need favor. Look at this. Two preachers imparts a word of promise to Rahab that would keep her during the hour of judgment. Now notice, these spies did not have to run back to Joshua and get permission to give her this scarlet thread. They didn't run back to Joshua and say, can we give her a promise? Can we give her the word? Can we let her in on it? Can we let her in on this? They didn't have to ask permission. Their word was his word. Their promise was his promise. Their voice was his voice. Their mouth was his mouth. Hallelujah. They was ambassadors. They was ambassadors for Joshua. And their word kept that church in the hour of the judgment. If it was enough for Rahab, living in a place of judgment, living behind these walls, come on church, living in a nation that's forsaken God, taking him out of our schools, taking him out of our courthouse, if they reject him, what about today? He says, and I was with Moses, she never seen God. She never seen the works of God. She just heard. Others had seen it, and she believed by hearing it. Now she said, I want favor for me and my father and my mother. Come on. They're both old and crippled up. I've got some brethren. I want to have faith for them. And the spies, the preachers, played the tape. And the spies, the preacher said, listen at their message. Yes, he's coming. He's coming this way. And we're going to take the land. Notice what they're telling her. There's a promise that's coming. There's fulfillment coming. There's a season that's coming. There's an hour that's going to take place. Get yourself ready. I'm going to need something. And they said, here's a token. This is what we want you to do with it. We want you to hang it out your window. Put it on public display. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't hide it in the closet. Come on, don't hide in the bedroom. Put it on public display. Let your friends know about it. Let your family know about it. Let the world know about it. Don't be ashamed of this. Put it on display. And when Joshua comes in, he'll see that covenant and he'll favor the dust. And he'll save you and your house. So she done exactly what the word told her to do. And when Joshua came into the land, Joshua went looking around those big old walls. Abraham said he was looking for a battle plan on how to take these things down. Come on. And all of a sudden he comes to a specific place in the wall. He comes to a certain spot in the wall, and there's a red ribbon hanging out of the window. Come on. And when Joshua looks, there's a man standing there, and he's got his sword drawn. And because she wasn't ashamed of this red token, come on. Oh yeah, just because she had a Facebook account, she still presented the token. There ain't no confusion about what she believes. Even though she had Instagram, she still presented the token. Her words were seasoned because of the token. She had it at home. She had it on vacation. Everywhere she went, she had this token.
She didn't want to be caught without it. She didn't want to be found without it, because there's coming a season, there's coming a time that judgment's going to strike, and the only way to escape the judgment, you must possess the token.
Hallelujah. He's standing there with a sword in his hand. It ain't the days of first pull no more. It ain't the days of second pull no more. He's got a sword in his hand. Hallelujah. Judgment's coming to Jericho. And God's going to show favor during the hour of judgment. He's going to show favor because it's the promised land. So here's a woman living in the promised land. She's just out of her position without a token. But once the token comes in, hallelujah, she comes to her place, she comes to her position, judgment cannot strike her home, because God's going to honor the word. I said, God's going to honor the word. God always shows favor to those that's in the right promise in the right land. Remember, Abraham said, whenever, any time that they would leave Israel, he said, the Jew is backslid. It's only when they're in the homeland can blessings come upon them. Remember our type, according to the scripture, that when Naomi's husband left the homeland, the blessings was left in the homeland. Right? Which is a type of a Jew being backslid on God, because they left the land of promise. And when he got outside the promise, her husband dies. Right? They had a boy, come on, and his name was Sickly. But he married a woman outside the promise, outside the covenant of Israel. Come on. But the problem is, he died. Ruth's old husband died. And she tells Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. She'd been hanging around Naomi long enough, she got to hearing about this Jehovah God. She got to hearing about the ways of God. And she said, we're going to go in back into that special land. Amen. Now notice, because of Ruth's husband being dead, she's free to go to the land of promise. He wasn't just divorced. He wasn't set aside for another occasion. Her old husband was dead. Dead completely. Dead and buried and out of sight. Abraham says it like this in Gospel, by the way, I'll hurry. Notice the top of the Jewish church, Ruth, the top of the Gentile. He said, notice the Gentile church. Here she comes back. Ruth, being a Gentile, heathen worshiper, she looked back and she said, I'll go with you. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried? Where you're buried? Where you're buried? I'll be buried. Let your God be my God. That's the Gentile church accepting the salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the second chapter of Ruth, it reveals her time to return. And she come back just in the harvest time, barley season. So she don't just come back under Paul's planting season. She comes back, notice now, not under reformers. She comes back during the harvest time. She comes back at a set time into the right land of promise. She's coming back during the hour of the harvest, so she's coming back to the right land. And when you get in the right land, in the right place, under the right season, something's about to happen. And the Bible said she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. So she ends up in Boaz's field. You talking about blessed. You talking about the right season and the right time. She all of a sudden, because God's going to show favor, because she comes back to the homeland, she ends up in her kinsman redeemer's field. There's a lot of other fields you could have ended up in. Come on, church. I said there's a lot of other fields you could have ended up in. But because God looked down from the height of his sanctuary, he favors the dust thereof. He brought her in at the right season, at the right time, under the right message, under the right redeemer, under the right kinsman, to do what? Buy her back. Brother Rem said it happened to be that Boaz was coming to check on the harvest.
So the kinsman redeemer descended to where she was at. And when he sees her, Brother Ram said it was love at first sight. And he says, don't you leave this field. Don't you go over here and pluck some grain out of these other denominations. You stay in my field. You stay in my place. You stay in this spot. Amen. You stay out of the rest of them fields. Stay out of them. Get out of them. Come out of her. You're safe here. You can have rest here. For he tells her in chapter 2, verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? She's found a place where she's safe from all the enemies that would want to do her harm. Because the word of Boaz was over her. The word of Boaz had said, don't you touch her. Come on. No, there's nothing could strike her without Boaz giving permission first. Hallelujah. He doesn't charge. He doesn't give his word. He doesn't make his oath. Stay here. You're safe here. What did she do to earn this? What did she do to merit this? Seriously, what did she do this, deserve this? She didn't do nothing. She receives favor in the eyes of her kinsman redeemer. And because God favored the dust, she got redeemed. God favors this land. It's this land that God ordains to receive favor. God wants it to be set up just right. That's the reason when Solomon sets up this temple, God tells him exactly how it's to be done. He's careful to build it exactly the way God told him to. Listen, friends, them stones wasn't just stones. That was going to be God's place to dwell at. That rock wasn't just going to be any rock. That dirt wasn't just any dirt. But when Solomon had everything in its place, when he put everything in its rightful position, when it lined up according to the word of the Lord, notice the stones, her stones had to be in her place. And when the stones got in her place and the dust was in its right place, the Lord descended down upon the tabernacle. The Lord descended upon Rahab. The Lord descended on Ruth. And the Lord descended on the tabernacle. 1 Kings 8 and 10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Notice verse 13, I've surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king, oh listen, and the king turned, notice, his face. He turned his face and he blessed the congregation of Israel. So God's presence, his face would turn from the king, and the king's face shows favor. The king's face being turned means the people are a blessed people. Brother Rem says it like this in dedication, the Lord descended down upon the place till it filled the entire temple. The pillar of fire came in there with such great glory of God till the ministers could not minister anymore because of the glory of the Lord, glory of God. That's when it found its final resting place. That's when it found its final resting place. The Shekinah glory that followed those, the capping stone, not the corner, the capping stone, the main thing. All the other stones does not affect until then. Notice, every other stone did not come into effect until then. But when the capping stone comes, every other stone comes to its place because God caps it. But this main stone came in, the headstone, and it took its place positionally for its resting place for that generation. And the glory of God filled the place where they were sitting. There was a Shekinah glory upon the whole building. So when the headstone comes to its place, it finds a resting place. Now watch. It's God's ordained spot for that stone. And then God sends his glory. Brother Ram says it like this. Let me close. If the headstone come in Luther's time, look what out of the way place it would have been. So if God caps off Luther's message, it's out of its way. It's out of place. Look, it'll come in Wesley's time. Notice, it's God. It'll come in its own. It'll come in its own predestinated time. So God allots a season for the capstone to descend. But the church will be honed in such a condition until the church's ministry will be so close, it'll be just exactly like the kind of ministry that Jesus had to make it all fit together for the rapture. Amen. Them rocks, listen to this, take on the whole armor of God, them rocks laying up there for hundreds of tons, laying up there, it's so close together without mortar that can even run a razor blade between them. And when the headstone comes, Christ comes to His, it'll have to fit perfect like the rest of it. Then David says, thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. So there's a time and a season. There's a people. There's a land. There's a message. There's a capstone. There's a glory. Hallelujah. It's all going to come together at the right time. For thy servants take pleasure in her and favor the dust thereof. Look what David says in verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. When he builds up Zion, when he gets Luther's message, Wesley's message, Pentecost, when he sends the cats on, he gets every one of them lined up, he's going to appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise our prayer. Then it shall be written for the generation to come. The people which shall come by the spoken word shall praise the Lord. Amen. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. He looks down from the height of his sanctuary. He looks down upon this earth. Hallelujah. And when he looks down from the height of his sanctuary, notice he's looking to the right, Brother Branham said, which means that's where the thief on the cross that received favor, he got favor. He's looking for his body. He's looking for his bride. She receives favor because he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. Psalms 1 over 2 verse 20. What's he looking for? To hear the groaning of the prisoner. To loose those that are appointed to death. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, aren't you glad? But Rem tells us how the God, when his picture got taken in the cloud, he said he was looking to the right. Said, we looked at that picture wrong, and it took a messenger to show us exactly how to look at it and what eyes to look through. But I want to say, we've recognized who it is. Isn't it amazing? That's why they condemned Jesus. They said, Jesus ain't nothing. He's a man trying to make himself God. And oh, how they missed it. He was not a man trying to make himself God. He was God that made himself a man. And God condescended and looked down upon man because that's where he wants to dwell at, in his temple, in his place. He wants to dwell. He wants to be the utmost part of every one of us. And he don't want any other name upon us. He don't want some denominational name over you. He wants his name over you. He wants to be our husband. He wants to be our redeemer. Amen. He wants to make love to his people because they belong to him. He can't simply forget about her and cast her aside. But he looked down and he undid the shackles from the neck of his people. And he took off the shackles of denominationalism and he said, now arise and sit. Arise and sit. Come up out of that old dust. You're favored. Aren't you glad you are? Praise be to God. Think about it. You're a favored people today. We've sat here for the last 45 minutes to an hour. You've heard the word. These tops, these shadows, they mean something to you. You know why? The Word's got a resting place. And when the light of the Word strikes the light inside of you, something begins to respond out of you because you know it's truth. Listen, friends, this ain't just something we preach about. It's a good sermon. It's good words. This is who we are. This is who we are. It's not just playing church. Those days is over. We must recognize who we are and display this token publicly. Our set time has come. The hour is here. There's no more days to come. Make sure you're ready, friends. You don't want to be left here for the tribulation of things that's coming up on this earth. You don't want to be left here. Recognize, arise, shine. Your light has come. Let's bow our hearts. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Truly, Lord, you look beyond all the faults of this dust. Lord, we don't deny it. We was full of them. Our mortality, Lord, was a part of this world. But there come a set time, there come a day, Lord, where you was going to favor this dust. And at a certain season, at a certain time, it may not even been in a church. It may have been somewhere somebody mentions a name, or maybe you picked up a book somewhere or something happened. We just think it's coincidence, but it's favor. It's an allotted moment because God's light was going to shine over that seed. Oh God, your prophet tells us in the rising of the sun, it's like the great eagle. It noted it had its egg somewhere. It noted it had a seed somewhere, but at the right time, the eagle would come looking, and you found us. You didn't just go looking for us, but you found us. You've changed us, Lord, from this world. You've changed our thinking. You've changed our mind. Lord, we can't even think the same. We'll never think the same again. We've come underneath this open book, and we cannot think the same as we did before. Amen. We've been called for this purpose. We've been chosen for this moment. Now I want to tell you, Lord, we're so humbled to be a part of it. Lord, we may not be a big part. I'm just glad I am a part. I pray, Lord, for this congregation. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. May we come to our place and tear down any idol, any other thing. We don't want to share it with nothing else. I pray, Lord, help us. Help us, Father, we can stand. Lord, when everything else is shaken, help us to stand upon your promise of your word. We give you the praise for today in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. 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 He came looking for me. Sing that, Brother Harry. Aren't you glad he did? Oh, praise be to God. Ain't his word rich? Amen.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat.
Oh, yes.
As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear.
I remember that day.
My desperate cry rang out with pride, for all I could see.
Listen now.
Your faith all but gone. I left the one who came looking for me.
Oh, let's sing it together now with all your heart.
See what?
It's a marvel to me why people don't want to go to church and hear such as that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad your dust is favored? God started doing that from the very beginning when he made the planets. All those other planets out there, but this one here found special favor in the eyes of God. Its dust was chosen. Then in all the earth there was a spot called Eden, which is a chosen spot out of all the earth. Then there was another chosen spot in the chosen spot called the Garden of Eden. Then God chose another spot and brought man out of the dust of the earth and then placed that man in the chosen of the chosen spot. Just face the facts, friend. There's certain dust that God chooses above other dust. Job said, though my skin worms would destroy me, yet in my dust, in my flesh, I will see God. Praise God. Amen. Don't you love him so much today? Brother Harvey Lunsford got sick and had to leave the service not feeling well. We want to pray for our brother right now. Can we just join together? Maybe you've got a need in your life today. Maybe your dust is suffering and sick, or you're going through something in life and you need the Lord to help you today. Would you just raise your hand as well before we pray? Lord, how blessed we have been today to sit under your great presence and hear such a marvelous, wonderful, anointed sermon. We thank you so much for your word today, Father. Thank you for your manservant that was able to surrender himself, Lord, to be able to break the bread of life. Now, Lord, we want to bring these needs to you, Father. Brother Harvey, not feeling well and having to leave the service earlier. Lord Jesus, we pray for our brother that you would just touch him. Then, Lord, there was many that raised their hands here today because they also have needs. You didn't promise us, Father, that this dust of ours wouldn't get sick and afflicted and have difficulties along the way. But you came to this earth in a body of dust, and you allowed that body of dust to be striped before you ever suffered the penalty for our sins. You came to us in dust to heal our dust. So you allowed your dust to be striped so that we could be delivered. Oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, would you minister to the needs of your people today? We know that divine healing is only a down payment of the resurrection. Every person that gets healed by divine healing, it is a temporary resurrection in their body. Father God, may you, by your power, touch each one here today. Oh, how we've enjoyed your word today. We've sat at the table once again with our great King, and truly your banner that was spread over us today was the banner of love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for speaking to us the wondrous words of life. If there's one here today, Lord, that's not been loosed from those chains and shackles of the enemy, to be able to be loosed from the house of bondsmen, may the presence of God liberate them today, Father. if they have besetting sin, if they've come out, yet they've never went into the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, may they find it there today, Father. We so thank you for the words of life. For we know the homeland. Oh, I know people ridicule us. They make fun of us. But Lord, if the people could only see it, it's only the homeland of the revealed message of the hour that will take the rapture. Praise God. It's not just sitting in a church. It's not just sitting in a certain location. It's in Christ Jesus, our homeland, the message of the hour. We are the people of the book, and we have returned to our place in the Word of God. From there, you will call the rapture. Matthew 27:53, we know when that great resurrection took place and they heard your shout, it was out of there that they raised up. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Grant it to each one of us, I pray today, Father. In the name of Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad you're in your homeland? That I could still go free. Let people ridicule us, friends. Let them say whatever they want to. You imagine Abraham when he paid that tremendous, tremendous price for the field that day that had a cave on the other end. And they laughed at him and they made fun of him. And when you look at the documents that had been found many, many years ago and called a uniform, it was actually documents from the time, during the time of Abraham, and seen real estate exchanges of what value a property was worth. He paid an exorbitant amount for this property. It made no sense. They laughed at him, they ridiculed him, but he had insight into that land. There was a cave there, of course, and we know the name of the vicinity there was the cave of Machpelah, and it had two doors going into the cave, one to go in, one to come out. Praise be to God. If we all live the natural course of human life, we'll all find the door in. But I want to find the door out. And the outgo is the resurrection. Praise God. Praise God. You imagine they laughed, they ridiculed, they all got together, the sons of Heth, the Hittites, and they made fun of Abraham, and they laughed at him, and they laughed at him. But Abraham, when he said, praise God, I didn't know where Job was buried at, but all of a sudden, by vision, I saw it in that land of the resurrection. Laugh at me. Ridicule me, call me what you want. But one day you'll go looking for me and I'll be gone. Why? I found the field of the prophet. Place of the resurrection. Laugh at our young girls. Laugh at our sisters. Ridicule them. Make fun all you want to. But one day when the bombs start falling. I saw a video just yesterday where Russia has just now released a video, a little bit of a fright thing, of course, for America, by which they was able to shoot simultaneously four missiles coming out of the water. It was absolutely breathtaking to watch it from this new submarine, which they're able to load with nuclear warheads. And I thought, my, how it must make the Pentagon and others tremble. But it didn't make me tremble because I'm going to be gone. Praise be to God. I found my homeland. It's in Christ Jesus. God bless you. You can lock me up in a prison. Let's just sing it now before we go. You can throw away. Eyes that now can see. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. One day, friends, we'll never have to leave this presence. We'll never have to say the benediction again, and we'll never have to say goodbye. This will be the greatest of your rewards, of never having to leave his face again. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you for such an awesome time. We believe, as it was said of Esther so many, many years ago, could it be that you were brought to this place for such a time as this? Little would we have known when we were young children, even when we become teenagers, we started thinking of what we wanted to become in life, and maybe our parents would ask us, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be a farmer. I want to be a housewife. I want to have a bakery. I want to do this or that or the other. How could we have ever known the Almighty chose us to sit with him in his throne? For many of us, the height of our goal would have been to be a businessman and maybe had the American dream, or to have been a lady and had a little bakery maybe somewhere, and we made a nice living for us and our family. But we're so glad that your plans go beyond ours. Oh Jesus, how we love you today. Thank you that we have found favor in your sight. Blessed Lord God, may there not be a one of us missing it that day. For we know the last and final display of favor will be all of a sudden. A sweep will go moving across the earth. Praise be to God. And all of a sudden, dust will be changed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Our bodies will start changing in Africa, in India, in Europe, in America, in the islands, all over the world. A sweep will start, and dust bodies will be transformed. Praise God. Teeth will come back in. Hair will come back in. Cells, sinew, muscles, tissues. A sweep will go over us. Finally, our dust will have found divine favor with God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Until that time arrives, give us strength, give us courage. We can be what you desire us to be, Lord. Blessed be the David today, Lord. We thank you for these meetings this weekend. It's been such a refreshing time for us. Strengthen our brother, refresh him, Lord. Be with him, bless his ministry, his family, his church. Keep him by your grace, Lord. We love you so much, Father, until we're able to gather together again. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't you appreciate him today, saints? Yeah. Are we not a blessed people? Amen. Go in the fear of God. May the Lord be with you as you go. God bless you. Sing some for us as we go. Love you with all my heart. God bless you. Find favor in the eyes of God.
I'm going soon.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
I'm going where I belong.
Let's just sing it as we go.